Why don't we call this meeting to order? It is January 11th, 2012, 6:30 p.m., the meeting of the Oceano Community Services District. We can have a roll call, please.
President Guerrero.
Present.
Vice President Lucy.
Present.
Director Angelo.
Here.
Director Hurdle.
Here.
And Director Searcy.
Here.
And I think the audience and the viewers will notice that Director Angelo is appearing by a telephone. I believe that it was properly noticed that she would be appearing. Is there anything else we need to add on that, Molly?
No, it's fine.
Okay.
I would just say that if we could all speak up tonight, that would be helpful to us all.
Caroline, would you do the notes?
Thank you for the calendar.
Chairman Guerrero, would you have pictures sent to us tonight where the meeting was duly noted and anybody could walk in and see her, so that applies to the Brown Act. So I'll pass this forward.
And I would, we'll accept those. And I will ask that these be attached to the minutes for the next, for this particular night at the next meeting. In fact, and these are pictures of the notice that was posted.
At the hotel where the business conference room where she's at.
Okay.
It is a public venue, so is there any Lori, is there any public where you're at?
I have one employee that's here, and also Mr. Angelo is in the audience as well.
Oh, give our best to Mr. Angelo.
What? Hello? You hearing?
Yeah.
Do you want us to put you down under public comment?
Okay, if we could have a flag.
If you could turn your volume up a little bit, that would help.
Turn the mic up. Okay, if we could have a flag salute. Item number 3.
Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, moving on to agenda item number 4, agenda review. Are there any comments on the agenda? Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
I'll so move.
I'll second.
All right, all in favor say aye.
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 Okay.
Aye.
Motion is approved by a vote of 5-0. You know, would it... Oh, okay.
Director Searcy?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Would it, since this is the first time we've done this, would it help Director Angelo if we move the phone closer to where Director Hurdle and I are sitting? She might be able to hear us better. Instead of in front of, yeah, her empty seat. I think that makes sense.
You know, I actually thought if we could print it on top of a box and raise it up.
Well, I think we're limited right now.
Moving on to agenda item number 5, public comments. Comments should be limited to items not on the agenda and those matters that are within the jurisdiction of the district. Brown Act restricts the board from taking formal action on matters not published on the agenda. Your comment should be directed to the board as a whole and not to individual board member. In response to your comments, the board may direct staff to assist or coordinate you. A board member may state a desire to meet with you, and it may be the desire of the board to place your issue or matter on a future board agenda. Comments are limited to 3 minutes. Is there any public comment?
Yeah, we have one tonight, Chairman Guerrero. It's Jeff Edwards.
Okay. Jeff, good evening.
Good evening. Thank you, Mr. President, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. Happy New Year, everyone. It's the first meeting of the new year. And I wanted to briefly touch on 3 topics tonight: water, flooding, and planning. And I followed your meeting of December 14th regarding the seawater intrusion question. And just yesterday at the Board of Supervisors, somebody at public comment speaking about the Los Robles Del Mar project in Pismo Beach spoke about seawater intrusion in Oceano as if it was, you know, if it was the real deal. And you have had the discussion. In reviewing your minutes from the 14th, I see that there was a decision to draft a letter about this or cause a press release to be issued. And I think this is still something that requires some attention on your part. And the notion of a one-time event, one-time seawater intrusion, I don't think that's realistic. And I would hearken back to the well that they took the samples from and the condition that well was in when those samples were taken. So I think any notion that there was any seawater intrusion for any time, I think is false. And so I'd like you to consider that and then, again, correct the public record because it keeps continuing to get discussed as if it's real. And again, just as recently as Tuesday's Board of Supervisors. The second item on flooding, as your board may know, the county's Public Works is involved in trying to address flooding in Oceano, particularly the Island and Sand District location. Apparently, one of their strategies is a pipeline in Juanita that will discharge lagoon water onto the beach. Apparently, the county's been out there and doing some potholes, as is evidenced by some new cold patches of asphalt. And I guess it's partly a question that I'd like to ask, and that is, apparently there are some utility conflicts down there, and perhaps your GM may know about any utility conflicts and actually whether they intend to go through with the pipeline and pump. I've questioned the effectiveness of that scenario, but it looks like they're going forward with it anyways, and so I'm just curious what the status might be. And then lastly, I think it's the last Board of Supervisors meeting in 2011, they approved a grant from the Department of Conservation, State of California, in connection with Sustainable Community Strategy. And Oceano is one of four communities throughout the county of San Luis Obispo that is participating in this planning grant. And a good part of it has to do with transportation and land use. There's an economic component to it. And so the county planning department is embarking on this. Oceano, Napomo, Templeton, and San Miguel are the communities. And so I think it's a real opportunity for perhaps the Oceano Advisory Council to maybe dovetail with the work that the planning department's doing in this connection. What it is really they're talking about target development areas.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards.
And where development might occur. Thank you.
Is there any more public comment?
No, nobody listening. All right.
Is there any board member comment? Item number 6.
I have none at this time.
Mary? All right. Moving on to item number 7, reports. Reporter Sheriff South Station, Commander Jim Taylor. Good evening.
I'm Jim Taylor. I'm the new commander for the Sheriff South Station. I was recently promoted to the rank of commander. I was assigned as the sergeant in charge of the narcotics unit for about 2.5 years. I've been with the Sheriff's Office for a little over 25 years. 10 of the 25 were spent as a patrol deputy in the South County. The other 15 years were broken up working as a deputy in our special problems unit in the early and mid-90s. And then for the last 10 and a half years, I worked as a sergeant where I supervised deputies at Coast Station, at the North Station in Templeton, and then for about 4 years, I was a civil sergeant down at the courthouse, which is where Mr. Guerrero and I have met.
We know each other.
The only update that I have for you folks is that, one, we appreciated the resurfacing project that was done on the parking lots, and we worked with Tom in getting the vehicles moved around and getting that completed, and it's nice to have the work done, and we appreciated it. The only other update we have is that our deputy sheriff, K-9, will be on the job the beginning of February. The sheriff was able to purchase 3 canines using asset forfeiture money from our federal narcotics asset forfeiture accounts. So these dogs, the equipment that goes with them, and the cost and maintenance is being paid for, not with taxpayer money, but with money that was seized through drug cases. The The dogs themselves will be one assigned to each area of the county, so there'll be one on the coast, one in North County, and then one here in Oceano. The dogs are cross-trained, so they're not only protection dogs for the deputies, but they're also trained to search for drugs, and they're also trained for scent detection, tracking purposes. So if we have a child or an adult who's missing, we may be able to track. If we get a good enough scent, initially use the dog to help track that person. The deputy will be working a normal patrol beat. He'll work as any other patrol deputy would work, handle calls for service, and then as needed, the dog can be utilized. The scheduling for the dogs will be done in a manner so that there will always be a canine on duty in the afternoon and evening hours somewhere in the county. It may not always be in Oceano, but if we need one in Oceano, there will always be one available, less driving time if our local dog's not on duty. So that's all I have. I can answer any questions any of you might have.
Any significant crime or uptick or downtick in Oceano in this?
There hasn't been any significant increase. We had the homicide that's still being investigated. Can't really discuss some of the leads into that because it is an open investigation. I know there's a lot of man hours that were used, not just from the detective unit, but all aspects of the sheriff's office, our gang unit, detectives from the narcotics unit were participating in tracking down leads and are still tracking down leads on. But as far as any upticks, we've been fairly quiet the last month, especially. In some respect, probably because the weather has kept a lot of folks off the street at night, and that's lessened the opportunity for any kind of retaliation.
What was the result of the DUI checkpoint that was out here?
You know, I don't have that information.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, that's no problem. Thank you. That's all my questions, Stevens.
I just have a quick question. Has there been any education with the community around having a canine in the area?
I think it's planned that once Deputy Souza is here, we're going to start making those presentations so the public is aware of the canine and try and, well, educate and also lessen any kind of concerns or fears that anyone might have with there being a dog. It's not a new concept to have police canines in the county. It's just a really new concept for the sheriff's office, because the last time we had a canine was when we all worked out of Mario's barbershop in the mid and late 80s. And that was the last canine officer that we had. And when he left, the dog left with him. So it's not a new concept, but it's something we haven't done in a long time. So we will make efforts to get out to the public and educate them.
Yeah, you know, because I have no idea how to act around a dog like that.
You know, they are like 100-pound lap dogs, unless they're given an order by the handler to do whatever it is the handler needs them to do. But they're the most friendly dogs I think I've ever seen, short of my own, which is a 150-pound lap dog. But you know, if you encountered a deputy, I mean, you don't want to try and pet the dog unless the deputy knows it's okay, because you know you don't want to touch the dog because it's a tool, it's a piece of equipment essentially. But if you met the deputy and you wanted to pet the dog and asked to pet the dog, he would let you pet the dog, and there would be any problems there.
Okay.
Thank you. The cross-training that the dogs have, is that new?
No, it's not really it's not a new concept. A lot of the other canines in the county with the other police agencies have the same training.
Mm-hmm.
The kennel that we used locally obtained these dogs from overseas. I think the reputation of the kennel we used is impeccable. The lead deputy on this program is Alan Barger. He he's assigned to our narcotics unit. He has the only other dog that we've had, actually dogs, and those were strictly drug detection dogs for highway interdiction, drug interdiction. And Al took this program on when Sheriff Parkinson expressed an interest in a canine program and has really brought it together. He's probably the reason we have it more than anyone else.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Commander. Have a good night.
And welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Yes. Item 7B, report of the Five Cities Fire Authority, Acting Fire Chief Ricky Heath. Good evening, Chief Heath.
Good evening. Good evening, Honorable President and Board Members. I would also like to if it's okay, I'd like to wish the Angelos a Happy New Year.
I think that's all right. Could you hear that, Lori?
No, I didn't.
Chief Heath is wishing you a Happy New Year.
Oh, thank you. You too. Congratulations on your job there.
Thank you.
Okay, gonna speak up for us, right?
Is it working?
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. First off, thank you for the resurfacing of the parking lot. Ms. Giesling, again, did an excellent job. Also, I wanted to talk a little bit about a structure fire we had on New Year's Eve here in Oceano out on Paso Robles Street. The fire started in the laundry room. The engine companies arrived and basically held the fire into the room of origin. Of course.
Yes, we can, Lori.
No. Put the phone on mute.
It's still on Ricky Heath's presentation.
Okay.
Thanks. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Chief.
That's okay. Nobody was home at the structure. They were all on vacation, and so there was no worry of anybody being injured or anything like that. It was unfortunate, New Year's Eve. In fact, that was one of the houses that my family always likes to visit because of all the Christmas ornaments. Mm-hmm. My son loves that place. For this past month, we ran 44 incidents out of the Oceano Station. Out of the 44 incidents, one was the structure fire, one vehicle fire, 33 emergency medical calls, three hazardous conditions, two public assists, and four good intention calls. Good intentions, again, meaning calls that were dispatched and canceled en route. That's all I have for this evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night, Ricky. Item 7C, report of OCSD operations.
Maybe we should move Lori over to next to Tom.
Okay. Well, it's already been mentioned twice, but we resurfaced all the parking areas and service roads at all the four OCSD facilities. We chose to do it over between the holidays there because of less traffic, because with sheriff and fire, there's no perfect day. The fire department accommodated us by moving to Grover Beach, and they handled the calls from Grover Beach. And with that fire, there wasn't a happened while we happened to be doing the parking lot, so there was no immediate impact by them being there. One thing is that when we did it, we decided we'd do two coats because it hadn't been touched since the only records we found was 1996. And despite the cones and everything else, we did have some vandals come in and spin Brody's in the back parking lot and mark up some of the drain areas. And there's assorted footprints, but it's kids and knobby tires, and, you know, it's just the way it goes. The second night, we put up full orange construction fencing around everything to maintain the integrity of it. And I'm really pleased with the way it came out. We met with both the sheriff and the fire department and our field guys and figured out what's the best way. It just wasn't some arbitrary decision. Everybody had an input, and I think the lot is much more functional now.
Cosmetically, it just looks great driving into town. It really does make a big difference.
And the next step is to get this building painted and get that improved. And the girls and I are fighting over color. But we'll get that done shortly, too.
I vote for whatever the girls vote for.
You vote for what?
Whatever the girls vote for.
Oh, okay. The camouflage color I picked out isn't going to fly.
No.
Anyways, the other thing I wanted to bring out, too, was I have this little Zorro character here. And it was hand-carved by William Smith, one of our ratepayers and a frequent visitor to our meetings. And he just didn't bring this one. He probably brought close to 30 or 35 of them. He does this as a hobby, and so we distributed them at Christmas time, and we also took them to the Boys and Girls Club, and they were ecstatic. over it. So he's here tonight, and I'd like to give him a round of applause because he didn't have to do that. He just did it because he loves the community, and he's backed us 100%, and I'm just proud he's here, and I'm proud that he was able to do that for us. So, Bill, please stand. And you did a wonderful job, and it was everybody really, really enjoyed it. So now to the biggest task at hand that we've been dealing with, and anybody that's dropped in has probably heard more swear words come out of the offices in the back room here, because we are slugging tooth and nail to get these audits done. And I'd like to say that we had three or four different accounting groups that bid it, and we awarded it to Caliber, and in retrospect, it was probably the most brilliant decision that we made, because they are testing us like crazy, and they are tearing apart the lack of internal control and making sure that we are addressing the internal controls. But at the same time, it is it's creating a real tough environment, because we think we've got something figured out, and then we get right back into it, and we find out that we don't. So the best way to equate it would be putting a jigsaw puzzle together after your three-year-old son or daughter's come and scattered the pieces around the house. The more and more we get into it, we're convinced that the AS400 system somehow became a travesty over a period of time. And several times I've stated that the integrity of that system disappeared on June 30th, 2010. Now it appears that it may have been even sooner than that, but the last line of sanity appears to be June 30th, 2010. As far as the Tyler system, there's been several discussions on what's been loaded, what hasn't been loaded. The more we get into that, we are losing any confidence in the original balances and stuff that were put in that were even remotely accurate. And then the chart of accounts that was put in is a hodgepodge and doesn't reflect what we work to. And so it's created a major problem. And then, quite candidly, the previous management staff, not only were they incompetent, they were exceptionally lazy in the fact that we have, I want to say, just for simplicity, four different water bills that we pay four different agencies, and they just lump them all together. And so we've had to go back through and track that and put that back together. And so we had, just to give you an example, we had a meeting with the auditors yesterday. It started at 1 o'clock, and it went well past 5. And we had two pages of data points that required action and response, which, you know, thank God we've got a good staff with a good sense of humor, because they were here when they were told not to do a lot of this stuff, and now it's coming back to bite them, and it's not their fault, but they're readily charging and making it through. So the staff deserves a lot of kudos for spending the time that they are and being able to pull the history. And when I say pull the history, we talk to the girls in the office, and then we talk to Mr. Silvera and Mr. Hughes, our field guys, and then we make phone calls to other people saying, you know, what the heck was going on? Tell me why we did this. Tell me what we did. Now, this has also developed some nice fruit in the fact that we, I'm not going to get into it in detail, but we do have an incident where a vendor was overpaid some money, and we are going to have a meeting on Friday to get that money back. It also brought up some other things which we'll discuss in closed session. And then it's allowing us to get a much better handle on where we are now and where we're going to be at the end of the next 6 months. I want to say that when Marie and I came in here, our expectations were extremely high on what we've got, on what we were going to do, and some of the things that we took for granted that nobody could possibly screw this up, well, we were wrong in that, and so we're trying to pull all that back together. So, and I'll get into detail when I make the budget presentation on that. The other things that we've been focusing on, it's the start of a new year, and we belong to the Zone 3 TAC, which Director Searcy, myself, and Dan Silvera actively participate. Oceano has become a far more active person in that group, and it was already a fairly well-run group, but we've dialed it up a notch, and we're seeing fruits of that labor as well. The big focus is working on a regional water plan, and you got to remember, so we have the RAC, which Director Lucy sits on, which is a 37 board member advisory council of the Board of Supervisors. Then we have the Zone 3. Then we have the state water contractors. Then we have part of Zone 3 is our Lopez water setup. And then we have Zone 11A flood control. And all of them are separate, but a lot of them do some of the similar things. And what Oceano has been pushing for, and it's caught fires, is cross-sharing of communication and cross-sharing of reports, because why go and reinvent the wheel? And that's starting to come forward really quick, and people are recognizing that we're trying to bring that through. Now, it's also coming with a push from Arroyo Grande and the other members, but I'd like to say we took the lead on it, and people are really grabbing hold of it, and it's starting to pay benefits there as well.
Tom, can I ask you a couple of questions about that strategy when you're finished with your report?
Yeah, when I finish, I'll be open for any questions. There's several grants that are available to Oceano, and we also have we're in a favorable position because we're considered a disadvantaged community, and so we have things like the USDA and all this other stuff, and that all is wonderful, but I got to remind you that we're 2 years behind in closing the books and 2 years behind in the audits, and there isn't a financial institution in the world that's going to give us any money until we get that done. So we're putting the full court press on getting those books closed, getting the audits there, and then we'll go there. Now, as far as the meetings and that we're attending on all that stuff, I think I've already reported we met with the USDA. We are well notified of what the public speaker brought up about the county planning. We're also working on some grants in conjunction with the NCMA. We're working on some stuff with the Sand District. So we're well aware of the amount of money that's out there. We know what's there. It's on the table. But until we get our own house in order, it's going to create some difficulty for us to get that. I just got a thing today from Wallace Group talking about iBank is offering some preferential financing to communities of our size. There again, you open the punch list of things you need to do, and we're short. And it's not short because of lack of effort. It's just that we're trying to correct a 2.5-year-old problem in a very rapid period of time. So all those meetings are getting attended. I attended the RAC workshop where we went over a regional water plan, and they have $1 million that they want to give out as grants, and there was 3.6 million of applicants from various places. We were dovetailed on two. We were dovetailed on the one that Pismo put in, basically for the whole NCMA to do the master water plan, and then we were also put on one for the sanitation district for water recycling. And so we're addressing this. If anybody thinks they're not, you know, I'm sorry, but that stuff's there, and we are addressing it. We had review of capital improvements for both zone 3 and internally, and we've got a list of that stuff. The the Zone 3 tech is a closed meeting, and as we come to agreements on that stuff, then it'll get released. Our own capital improvements, Director Searcy and Dan and I, before the holiday, sat down and reviewed all that. One of the big things, too, that everybody's concerned about, specifically in Zone 11A, is that the Lopez releases, and I think I talked about that at the last meeting, it's still, even though we've had 20-some days of dry weather, it's still a concern, and we are monitoring that very, very closely. The 11A group made a mistake not inviting the farmers to the table soon enough. That's been fixed, and we're all following through on that. We during the audits, we came across several billing and coding issues and in the Tyler system, and we're doing a full system scrub of every single account holder that we have. And, you know, on top of the testing that we have to do, this isn't getting done as quick as I like, but what's more important at this point in time is to get this other stuff done. We've updated the field and issued them smartphones. So in the past, there used to be a work order. They'd have to come into the office and get it. Now we do it electronically, so they can be working on a job. And then Dan now has the ability to immediately forward to which technician he wants to go work at, Aaron or Casey. And that just went into effect this week. So the field guys are now in the 21st century. The other beauty of this is, in the past, with all the problems that we've had, somebody's had to drop what they're doing and find the digital camera that we had. Now all their phones are equipped with digital cameras, and we get immediate picture response. And in most cases, like with the rocks and the flap gate and pipelines breaking and all this stuff, we now have photographic evidence. So, you know, one picture's worth a thousand words, and we get that out, and it backs up all our supporting documentation. Also, like when we go and do a turnoff on a house and we lock it, all of a sudden the water's back on, we now have a date timestamp photograph so that we can decide what we're going to do about a customer or non-customer stealing water. Back to the NCMA, as you all know, I gave a presentation on saltwater intrusion last meeting, and that was part of a discussion that we had, and I can't really go into the details of it, but we are working to, the county punched in a new well at the base of the mesa, and I'm in the process of working with the county to allow that to be signature sampled and put the potentiometer testing equipment down in that well. So we'll not only have a profile at the beach, but we'll have a profile at the base of the mesa, which goes into giving us more data and allowing us to do much more practical water management. The public facility fees that I spoke about last time that the previous management grossly mishandled, we now have a very good understanding of that. And when this CDs roll, we will break off the public facility fees and put them in the proper CD where they need to go. The good thing is we're not generating a lot of money from the county on that. I think year-to-date we're at $570. In the past, it's been as high as $100,000. So the balance in that account is going to be a little over $300,000. And what the previous management did was we had an account with LAIF, and we had a CD with the public utility fees in, and he merged them together. And so it's created a small nightmare to go back through it. We had an old water yard truck that nobody was using and wouldn't pass smog. It was a 1986 vehicle, and we donated that to the fire department to do Jaws of Life, and I just turned in all the stuff to DMV, and that'll also be coming off our books. That's basically it. Aside from the data that I've been published in the Friday report. I'm open to questions. And I have one last thing, but I'll be
Oh, sure. The only question is I don't remember if you covered it or not. Approximately when do you think the audits will be complete?
To get a draft. We were supposed to get it this Friday, but because of all the discrepancies and the testing that we're answering, I envision we will have a draft in our hands by next Friday.
Okay.
So that'll be for 9/10, and we're in the process of closing the books on 1011, and even as late as 5:30 tonight, I got some information about the AS-400 and how suspect some of the stuff is, and I have a decision to make whether I even want to mess with it anymore or do we just try and do a rebuild. And okay. I haven't made that decision yet.
Thank you.
But, and the goal is to have both those done by the middle of March.
Okay. Seems like a reasonable goal.
I have a couple of questions too, Matt, when you're done.
Oh, go ahead, Mary.
Lori, can you hear me?
Lori, can you hear Mary?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, good. Tom, I just wanted to go back to you on the RAC, the Water Resource Advisory Committee,
mm-hmm.
And that you kind of just touched on sharing of information. And, you know, this potentially, if we can really get this thing off, you know, and going, because the duplication of some of the infrastructure is just incredible, right? This potentially could save hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. But in cross-sharing of information, right, as it relates to studies and stuff, somebody's livelihood is attached to that. And instead of just saying, acting like there won't be a pushback, right? There is always a pushback. Otherwise, we wouldn't be this. Am I being clear?
Yeah.
Is that, you know, I've seen this happen in other arenas, and it's worked really, really good. And then I've seen it happen where people didn't anticipate that there was lobbyists, is short for lack of a better term, because it was a small scale, but that they weren't aware of what they were going to come back with, and it didn't work.
Well, the RAC meeting that I attended was the first one that I've attended since I've been here, because I, with everything that was on the scope of turning this around, if we didn't turn this around, the RAC would have been immaterial to everybody. So I was counting on you and Director Searcy to, when you guys went, to give back information. But then when the grants came forward and we had to dovetail with PISMO as part of the NCMA going after that master water plan, when we were working on that, NAPOMO management group was also working on one, and there was a conference call where we were trying to be as accurate as possible so that this push towards regional water control and regional water activity was going to come into play without violating the stipulations of the Santa Maria Groundwater Basin Act, because as you know, there's theirs and ours is ours.
Right.
And we are, there's certain things that we can and can't do.
Well, anyway, I just think that that's a really great idea, and I think it's marketable, and I think that more people than not can see the benefit in cross-sharing of information. But another thing I wanted to bring up, too, is while we were at that meeting, Tom attended the workshop, and I came in about, I think, right after lunch or something, the report that the proposal that RAC writes each year and sends it to the Board of Supes for their funding and their projects and as such, and we as stakeholders in it all are supposed to have some input, and that's Tom being there in the morning definitely made sure that that occurred. But also, too, is that I noticed right away is that the proposal was the same proposal that I had read last year, the year before, the year before, and the year before. And so Oceano started asking that maybe we could get, you know, pros and cons, you know, just a report. This is what we've accomplished, what needs to be carried on into the future, what's ongoing. A status report of, you know, if you're going to work off this one master plan forever, just change the year. Well, at least put something attached to it where we know where we stand, you know, what's obsolete, when do we expect this to end and such. And I thought that the participants were you know, supportive of it. I don't know if the administration was, but...
There are some challenges there, but I guess you just refer back. You have to remember the RAC is an advisory council, and they make recommendations to the Board of Supervisors.
And that was made so clearly to me, that we make recommendations to the Board of Supervisors.
But I think you're seeing a more proactive role with the different groups working in concert together to at least have a real good understanding of what we believe is a priority, and then hopefully you as reps can take that and then go forward with it. But I agreed with the proposal, and so did the representative from Roy Grandy, the voting representative, and, mm-hmm. and a lot of people that were in our workshop group agreed too.
Yeah. It makes
sense. I don't understand the dynamic as to why they'd be opposed to that, but, you know, like I said, it was my first meeting, and I plan to be way more involved in it now just because of all the other things that coincide with it.
And I think as for me, learning that system even better and better each time, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to try to clarify Zone 3 for me, because I, at this point, I see where that body started out with a purpose, and I don't know, I can't honestly tell you where they're going.
Well, the Zone 3 is an advisory group as well,
but
the Zone 3 TAC is right. The workhorse behind it, and I've noticed since I become involved in it, and, you know, far from me not to be vocal, and Director Searcy and Dan can both attest that we have been posing questions or bringing solutions to some of the problems, as everybody in that group. I mean, it's a group that works really well together, in my opinion, and I'm glad that we're a part of it, because things do get done. Now, they may not get done with speed, but we're getting held back on, you know, environmental stuff, but we are working it. And I'd say the feedback is, as far as Oceano's position, is quite positive. So any other questions? Okay, this hit my desk at 11 o'clock today, and you have a copy of it. Last meeting, it's the South County Sanitary Service. And last meeting, Tom Martin presented a reason for a rate increase. And basically, this letter says that the interim rate increase will not go into effect. So some of you were concerned about us giving or foregoing some of our franchise fees, which I about had a coronary. But it won't go into effect until 2013, and Mr. Martin will be back in July to give us an update. Okay. So all the people that were worried about their garbage fees going up, they're not going up.
Do we have a reason why such? I mean, this is
slightly surprising. Well, they're supposed to monitor it to inflation, and it says right here the disposal rates for hauling companies are going to remain unchanged until January 1, 2013, which means that they had probably some secondary contract information fall into play with the people that take their material. And then inflation that was in the 3% range early in the year seems to be headed toward 0% in the near term. And finally, raising rates twice within a span of 6 months is neither practical or politically doable. So, this shows me that there's a high level of responsibility and integrity with our garbage supplier.
Oh, most definitely.
Because it probably could have slipped through and nobody would have known. So
nobody would have noticed.
That's great.
No, I think
and they've
we're
been
very
totally
fortunate.
Candid with us that this hit, and you guys are the first to read it. Carol Ann will put it on the website, and
we'll schedule. Come on, dude.
Director Searcy, do you have any reports?
I have none at this time.
All right, Director Hurdle.
I have none.
And Director Angelo, do you have any reports?
No, I wish I did. However, I am following along with this, and I'm quite interested in seeing this cost sharing with information with some of the departments that you're discussing. I think that would be great. We will have less
As far as my reports, the Five Cities Fire Authority is going to be meeting on the 20th, 3 o'clock, Grover Beach City Hall. They have not had a meeting. We did have a meeting in December. Battalion Chief Ricky Heath was elevated into acting chief until the time when Joel Aranis returns. I did attend the South SLO Sanitation District meeting last Wednesday. Bill Nichols from Grover Beach was nominated as chairman. I was nominated as vice chair. So the on the agenda, besides some maintenance items, were CalEMA. There's some the South San Luis Sanitation District is entering into agreements to participate in what is a statewide emergency response plan. There's also, similarly, a hazardous response plan that's being talked about with the South San Luis, with the Sanitation District, Grover Beach, and Arroyo Grande, and that's to unify the resources and the hazardous response plan. And Dave Matthews is heading it up. I spoke with General Manager Gieselin about it. And what I'd like to see is when we have more details, I'd like to see it brought onto our agenda. And I think that our community could participate in that as well, because I think
it's important. Hazardous material and emergency response?
Yes.
Yeah, we are already working that with our other agencies.
And that's what you had mentioned, and I think that it's...
We have a meeting this Thursday.
Okay.
To go over all that stuff.
If you could report back to us next time, that'd be great.
Mr. President, I have a question.
Yes.
On the sanitation district body, has the representative from Oceano ever been the president of that entity, that board?
Not that I'm aware of. It was moved by Mayor Ferrara.
Yeah.
And then.
Yeah. Can you maybe ask? I don't know. I see the same pattern on the Zone 3. Oceano has never been chair of the Zone 3 advisory body in the 30 years it's been a member. And same with the sanitation district. It's always the same two neighbors that share that role. So, I think that maybe, I know sometimes it's always hard and you got to pick your battles, but when I see patterns like that, I think a system's broke. And I don't know how to go about it. I look at Zone 3 and I'm just amazed that an election just occurred and it happened that quick. But it happened way before, you know, so.
Right.
Prior to the meeting?
It was on the agenda for election of officers, yes.
So maybe if you could, the way that I would handle it is just go back to their bylaws and say, it's round robin here. If we can't play fair or right, then it just has to be round robin. And there are certain cities that do that with their mayor. You know, everybody takes a turn at the job. And maybe these bodies have to be treated the same way. You know, if you can't share, then we're going to dole it out evenly. That's what my mother would say.
I think that's an interesting proposal. You know, we have a year to hammer it out, but it's probably something we should readdress.
And I know it's legal. I don't know a lot about law, but...
Is there any other comment, Director Angelo? Okay, I think so. I think we probably need to rectify it before the end of the year. Item number 8, review and approval of minutes. Is there any comment, board comment on the minutes? Hearing none, is there any public comment on the minutes? Seeing none, do I have a motion?
I move that we accept the minutes.
Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. Can we do a voice vote or with Director Angelo?
Roll call.
Everything has to be roll call.
Everything has to be roll call. Okay.
Vice President Lucy? Director?
Yes.
Director Searcy?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Director Angelo?
Director Angelo, do you want to vote on the minutes from December 14th?
She was absent.
She was absent.
Yes, I did read those. If it's appropriate, yes, I would vote yes.
Lori, you have to abstain because you weren't, we didn't have you dialed in.
Lori, we believe you have to abstain because you weren't dialed in.
Okay, that's fine.
We'll count you as an abstention then. Thank you.
That's correct.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
And President Guerrero?
Yes. Passes by a vote of 4-0 with one abstention. Moving on to item number 9, cash disbursements. Is there any board discussion?
Yeah, Chairman Guerrero, I'm handing you over a package of disbursements in the order of $517,706.88. Do you have any questions?
Is there? No. I think I did have a question. I'm sorry. The $199,830 to the County of San Luis Obispo, is that for our water bill? What is that one?
Yeah, that's a payment of our one of our water contracts, which we are current on, by the way.
So we're not going to
start here 6 months ago.
We're not going to get a nasty letter from them
behind
telling them. It's a lot of money this time, but
yeah. But thanks for paying the water. I knew you would.
Do I have a motion?
I move that we accept paying the bills.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Roll call.
Can we get a roll call vote, Carolyn?
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Director Searcy?
Yes.
The motion is approved, 5-0. Moving to agenda item number 10, administrative items. A, discussion, 2012 committee assignments. Why don't I start this discussion? I think everybody got in their packets a blank committee assignment sheet. I wanted to request of each board member, if you could put your name at the top and give me your requested committee assignments. I'd like to put people where they want to be placed. I think that makes the most sense.
While they're doing that, could I move that we take a 10-minute break or a 5-minute break?
Why don't we? That sounds like a good idea, Mr. Giesel. Why don't we take a 10-minute break? If we'll trail this item until then, if everybody could give me their choices, that'd be great. And Director Angelo, do you want us to? What do you want your role to be at this time? I know you've got a lot of stuff going on with the outside committee assignments. Okay. Thank you. We'll take a 10-minute break. It is 7:26. We'll come back at 8:36. Or excuse me, 7:36.
Are we going to leave Lori hanging, or are we going to call you back?
How are we going to? We need to leave her hanging.
Okay. We're going to leave you hanging, Lori.
That's fine. I'm not going anywhere.
I'm sure people will take turns.
We got 2 more minutes. We'll call the meeting back to order. It's 7:36 p.m. We were working on committee assignments. Director Lucy, do you have a? I was asking everybody if you could initial your your form.
I did.
Would it be a problem if you guys initial your forms and I'll work on these, and if we could trail this and do item 10B, the mid-year budget review, and so we don't waste time, and Tom could go over the mid-year budget review, and I'll work on this.
So you work on committee assignments while I'm doing the budget review?
Yes.
So that means I'll only have your divided attention on the budget review?
Yes, that's correct.
Well, that's probably more than our audience at home, so yeah.
And it's because I have faith in you, Tom, so.
We need a motion to do that.
If is there a motion to trail this and do item 10B first?
I'll so move.
I'll second.
Okay. Can we get a roll call vote then?
Director Searcy?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Thank you. Item 10B, discussion mid-year budget review. Mr. Gieslin.
Well, as promised, when I submitted this budget back in August, after the staff and I went through very painstakingly trying to figure out where we were then, I promised that we would come forward with a mid-year budget review, and we're meeting that promise tonight. On the left-hand side of the handout that I gave you, there is our revenue, what our projected revenue would be for the annual fiscal year, and then our six-month review. And on the right-hand side, there's all our expenses that we've been able to pull together. And then some of them I have to make some comments on. But if you go to page 2, which is the bottom of the spread, we anticipated annual revenue of $3.9 million, just under $4 million. For the half year, we're at a little over $2 million. So we're actually performing under budget to the tune of $150,000 and change.
Yay. Thank you so much.
So that, with the data that I give you on the Friday report with all our balances and weekly accounts receivable and weekly accounts payable, we have a very firm understanding of where we sit financially. And the staff reports, cash reports daily. And during the audit, we noticed that we had a little difficulty handling, as more and more people pay with ACHs or electronic payments, the stuff was misposted before, and we're getting better at it, but we're finding more and more, like the bank statement will say, ACH for San Luis County, $15,000. Okay, well, what was that for? So we have to go back through and identify that stuff.
Reconcile the account.
Right, so we have to reconcile the accounts. And so it's created a little bit of a problem, but we're constantly fine-tuning that system, and so we'll have it even more accurate. So there's a couple things I want to point out that I have concerns with, and then you can ask questions based on this as well. Under property taxes, we show that we've received a little over $400,000 in property taxes. Now, as you know, property taxes are paid in December and in April. And the county does a sweep when they come in, and we get a monthly sweep into our account. And before we were just thankful there was money in that account so we could transfer and pay bills and do everything we needed to do. But now we're paying even more close attention to it because we don't know if in this sweep if somebody paid both halves of their property taxes at one time, so we're not going to see that pop in April. So even though it's tracking to budget now,
there's a good chance that what we get in April could be lower than that. In preliminary discussions with the county were that we might see a 10% hit, but I think it's going to be greater than that, and that has a direct effect on what we contribute to the JPA and some of the other things that we have going on. So I've already talked with Director Guerrero that we will have a sit-down and try and pinpoint that, and then I will get with the county auditors and try and get a much clearer picture on what we're what we've received to date and that we can anticipate receiving in April. And they have the mechanism to change that or to track that, and then we will just jump on that bandwagon. The other thing that I want to point out is that if you look under expenses under state H2O, we had $980,000 projected for that, and a couple cool things have happened. One, this is a surplus year for us with respect to state water and our Lopez water, and we actually received some credits back this year, and we've done so in the past too. It's just I doubt if anybody brought it to the forefront. So we pay that bill in advance and receive payments this year from them, but I will address that with them this the end of this week and determine what the issue is with there. I know they wanted to push back on our contract without taking water but and banking it, but the reality of it is, whether they bank it or not, they still got to pay for it. So we'll get to the bottom of that. On the expense side, we just did a new NCMA contract, and that was put in effect. So we'll start getting more and more payments to that as well. If you notice, our payroll numbers were actually below payroll. And that's with all the adjustments. Now, we do have some reviews coming up, but at our current status, we're below budget. But we do have some reviews pending and that type of thing, so we'll track fairly even to that. One of the things that we are higher on budget on is our outside service, which is our consultants, which is we've got two audits that we've had to pay for. Actually, there'll be three. And then we brought in Steve Presley and Associates to spearhead our accounting as a second set of eyes to clean up all our books and records. And so in my opinion, that's money well spent. On legal, I'm happy to say that we are well below budget. And on litigation, we are also below budget, and most of you know that the bulk of that was the Pamela Dean situation, which we talked about earlier. Contract retention, it was originally reported as 121. We've done recalc on that, and it's turned out to be 103,000, of which that was at our Baker payment, which we paid them, and then we have some reserves for a biologist and somebody else way back when, and we're addressing that, but that's tracking as well. And then we have some APCD fees that are going to come up that have to do with our trucks and our engines on the wells, so we threw money in there. And then we have an annual LAFCO expense, of which I'm not sure we've got a bill for that yet, and I need to follow up on that. So that's basically where we stand as we know it today. Now, we will honestly and be very forthright and tell you that some of the accounts that we originally tagged to the budget and this budget here were gross misrepresentation of what they're supposed to be. And so when we complete this audit, we are going to do a complete scrub of the chart of accounts and normalize the chart of accounts and then apply the money to where it's supposed to be. We're going to, like I said before, ensure the money that goes for sewer goes into sewer. The public facility fees go into that set account and continue to have to review that.
What account number was that?
It's
Sanitation District. They pay us an administration fee for doing their billing. And I'm going to guess it's a typo, but at this point in time, I don't have the backup. But I'll answer that and mention it in the Friday report.
My guess is it's probably $29,000, not $2,900, but yeah, it's a guess.
I'll double check that.
Okay. That's the only question I have on this. And thank you for this information.
Any other questions?
Dan, could you flip the lights back on?
Thank you, Tom.
I would like to really also mention that this budget review was a full team effort of everybody. And on top of doing what else we were doing, but we've been very specific at not missing marks. You know, yeah, we probably should have drafted a letter on saltwater intrusion like we said we would, but I'm sorry, we're just a little bit busy and we'll continue. This is really key, and after going over these numbers, as painful as some of the stuff we're dealing with is, from where we were 6 months ago, I'm exceptionally pleased at where we're at and where we'll continue to go forward.
I am as well. It's been a real change.
Yes.
In the last 6 months.
An outstanding job done by all. Thank you.
I'm still working on the committee assignments on 10A. The next item up is...
I had a question.
Go ahead,
on
Mary.
The committee assignments. Since
yes.
You mentioned that.
Can I go back a minute?
Yes.
I think we need a motion approving this, except with the change that you brought up. As accepted so that we can...
For the mid-year budget review?
Yeah, so we can put it up on the website.
I move that we accept the six-month budget review offered by staff.
Can I modify that to accept for the change that was brought up regarding the sanitation district administration fees?
I accept that friendly motion.
I'll second that. Can we get a roll call vote, Carolyn?
Vice President Lucy?
Yep.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
And Director Searcy?
Yes.
Okay, the next item up is closed sessions conference with legal counsel. But actually, we were still talking about the
committee
meetings. I think that's still tabled at this time, or not tabled, but continued. I'm just waiting for your...
Oh, I just wanted to ask you, is on the in-house committees,
mm-hmm.
I see that you have three of the committees.
This was the old list?
Yeah, right, exactly. Right. And so I was thinking, well, you know, maybe I should relieve the man in some way.
I was thinking the same thing. It's funny you say that.
So where do you want me to relieve you? On the committee list.
Yeah, how about community enhancement and or personnel if you're interested?
Okay.
I'll stick with codification. We never got off the ground with closed session at this time. Should we go in back?
Or we can just have these guys all the night.
You know what? Just sit right there. And I'll...
Thank you, Bill. Always good to see you. Thanks
good
for coming again.
Thank you.
You guys go to the front.
Okay.
Can you turn the mics off, please?
Call the meeting back to order. We just came from closed session. There's no reportable action. Why don't we go back to item 10A, the 2012 committee assignments. I have come up with a list. I have one concern as far as the sanitation district. Rick has put in to be the primary. I'm fine with that, but I was advised last meeting that it might require the chair of the OCSD to go to the sanitation district, so I want to follow up with that just to make sure for the final assignment.
They won't change it.
I think it is.
It is on their bylaws.
Is that it has to be the chair of the OCSD?
I think we did look that up. I don't have it in front of me right now, but I do sort of think we looked that up one time, and it's the chair.
But
didn't we make some kind of a
exception
thing to move that position? Matt took over.
But that's because Matt was the chair.
No, that's right. We did do a resolution.
We did the resolution because Director Angelo was on medical, and right. Matt, we needed to put.
Lori?
Yeah.
All right, Director Angelo's back with us. Great.
I'm back.
We did the resolution because Director Angelo was on medical and couldn't attend the meetings, and not without any consternation from the sanitation district. And so
I think
we do need to do a bylaw check. If we do musical chairs with them, it's going to cause a problem.
Now, is the sanitation district saying that it has to be a chair, or is it our bylaws are saying that?
I think I saw it on the sanitation bylaws. I've got our bylaws here.
Because our bylaws, we amended those, and so we're fine. I think what they're saying is the sanitation district. In that case, then I have to go back because who's the rep for... Sand District from AG now. Is it still?
It's still Mr. Ferraro.
But
it's Nichols.
But I know that Mr. Nichols is not the mayor of.
You can fill that one in.
Is that the only one where you saw?
Yeah, that was the only overlap. And you know, if Director Searcy is interested in doing the Sand District, I'm interested in having him there. So
yeah,
that's my perspective on that. So let me pass this over to Carol Ann, and we'll put this back on the agenda for the next meeting, which I believe is the 25th.
And it might be that Grover Beach makes a motion that they appoint Nichols. I mean, then fine, we'll make a motion. But
right, and I think we're in the same position. But let's just make sure we're on strong legal footing. Item number 12, utility items. Any will serves, Director Gieselin? General Manager Gieselin?
Not at this time.
And fee letters? Are there any fee letters?
Not at this time.
All right. Item number 13, is there any public comment?
No public comment.
Item number 14, board member discussion.
We rock.
you guys are making it too easy on me. Director Searcy, do you have any board member discussion?
Yes, I do.
All right. Why don't you bring it forward?
I just have one thing. I was in the community, and we had talked briefly about this issue about two or three meetings ago about the speed limit signs on Highway 1. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking that we have one particular speed limit sign currently now on 13th Street that is digital, and it's solar, and it gives you a clear indication of what your speed is. And I don't know how this district could facilitate it, whether it would have to go to Caltrans or the county or what, but I would like to see some of those posted on Highway 1 going through our business district. We had the issue of a person being hit and killed at the corner of Cienega in front. And that might be, a safety issue for this community. And I've heard some feedback from it. So I kind of like to throw that out there and see what if the district could help facilitate that, or what we would have to do to bring that improvement to our community. And that's all I have.
Should we add that to the agenda item as an agenda item next at the next meeting?
Yeah, we could add it to an agenda. I don't know if it really needs to be agended or just
I'll take it as an action.
Okay.
Yeah, because those people are just speeding down that highway.
I'll just put it on another list of
things to do.
Not me.
We're going to need to get him a wagon or something to pull all his assignments along with
it. Actually, I was looking at this new trike right here.
Item number 15, board member items for the next meeting agenda. Director Angela, do you have anything you'd like to add to the next agenda?
No, probably just a follow-up on general discussion of the finances and stuff like usual.
Okay. Well, I think we get that in the report of OCS.
I'm just kind of trying to figure out. It sounds like we're going in the right direction. I'm just, wanting to track it a little closer, so I may have you send me some additional paperwork too, or put it on my internet.
Okay, well, we have a budget breakdown that you did not get a copy of, which we will send out to you first thing in the morning.
Okay.
And that'll give you a better picture.
Okay, that'll work.
Director Hurdle, do you have anything you'd like to add for board meeting agenda?
I'd like to see a follow-up on the saltwater intrusion letter. And I'd also like to have a follow-up on the pipeline from the lagoon down to the, see where we are on that.
Pardon me? I'm sorry.
I'd like a follow-up
on the letter for the saltwater intrusion.
Okay. And to see where we are with the pipeline going from the lagoon down to Juanita Street. Where we are in the process, the county is in the process of that.
Director Searcy?
No.
All right. Director or Vice President Lucy?
No.
Okay, and that turns to me now. What I would like to address is, Interim General Manager Gieselin's been with us for about 6 months now, and I think we need to address making him permanent if he's interested in doing that. And I think that we need to bring this to the as a topic of discussion.
Agendize it.
Okay. Everybody
I'm in
agree?
Agreement. Absolutely.
All right. So we'll put that on the agenda for next time. What do we call it? Discussion of contract, a general manager contract?
Sounds good.
Well, we want to do it legal.
Yeah.
You want a draft contract?
Yes, please.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And, probably, I think with that, do you think it's appropriate, Molly, if you could do a staff report? Because I think we'll want to look at some comps for salary and responsibilities and job description. Is that possible? We have a lot of that information already, I know, and if we just have it all attached to the packet, it makes it easier to have a meaningful discussion.
Matt, there's one thing that we usually do at the beginning of the year, right? Lori, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, and that's usually we do goal setting for the year, and what I always try to say is, okay, what didn't we get accomplished that we can add to the goals? And what's happened is it's become this long, exhaustive, ad nauseum list, and it doesn't really quite go where it's supposed to go. And so I would like to do some type of, maybe not goal setting, maybe that's the wrong term, right? But I know that we're at a place now where we're fiscally, administratively as tight as this ship has been in my short 10-12 years. I mean, it really is. We're at a point now where we can start looking to build. We can start looking for economic development. We're there. We're always going to be haunted by the audits from hell of the past, but
community that have volunteered to be on the committee, and we will be having our first meeting sometime this month.
not certain when, but we have been out with the community looking at that, and there's a lot of enthusiasm, and it will be a revenue builder. And also, I think maybe what you're looking at too, Mary, is that strategic plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I want to wait until we get the budget, this review, this six-month review, solidified so we know exactly what it looks like. And then we can put that on the agenda to start working on that, because that really will give us some direction.
No, that sounds really good. You know, it's moving us forward.
Yes.
But I think we need to be focused on strategic planning, 1-, 3-, 5-year plans.
And yes.
One of the advantages we have now of what we had a year ago we have Tom at the helm,
yeah,
which is helping us, who's got a good sense about him. You can stop listening for a couple minutes.
I'm reminded of some things you forgot. Keep going.
We've got a board that's working together, and the feel and the energy and everything about what's going on this January compared to what was happening last January, it's just encouraging that I think we can start doing these things that needed to be done and need to be done now.
And I survived.
You and I are survivors. And you,
which
and you
this
too,
is
Lauren.
An election year for this board, too.
Right.
Yes. I'd like
a lot
to
better shape than we were last year, and we have a much better structured overall operation in general, plus the fact that the board has changed some of the directors through time. I feel really comfortable working with the group that we have now. I think we're all on the same path. We don't have any fights going on or any problems there. And with Tom's direction and Marie's help and the girls in the office, I think we've got a good year ahead of us.
I agree.
And the guys on
I'll
the streets, too.
Yes.
And the guys on the streets. We haven't had a negative newspaper article on us in a number of months.
I haven't received any hate mail about you guys lately.
Well, we already got ours in the office this week. I'd also like to remind you all about Tom's whiteboard in his office. I mean, yes. There are some short-term goals on there, but there's also some mid-range and a little bit further out ones, too, that we've lined a lot of them off and revamped them and are rebuilding, too.
Since the last meeting a month ago, my thoughts on the OCSD have been about, well, how do we move forward? How do we make sure our infrastructure is solid? Because our duties are water, sewer, trash, firefighting and street lighting. And how do we make sure all of those things are taken care of? Because that's, really the health and safety of the community. So I went to talk to Tom about it the other day, and he's already on it. And
well,
so,
Dan's chomping at the bit for some new meters, too.
Okay. Well, let's get those things agendized as needed. And
there's a couple things you forgot, and I'd also like to give Marie's a chance to comment on as well. But you and Marie attended the Dunes tour.
I did forget that, yes.
And so I think the public needs to hear that. I know Director Hurdle, myself, Director Searcy, and Director Angela have already done it, but you guys got to see the next version with the economic report. So
if you want to add anything, Marie, about?
I think one of the things that I came away from that with was how very complicated it becomes to try and move anything along when you talk about the number of agencies that are involved in all of this. It seems to me like, short of getting everybody at the coffee table at the same time, you're never going to get much accomplished when you have 9, 10, 11 agencies involved, and it's, I got to talk to this person, I got to talk to that person. And you begin to understand how difficult it is to make it all happen. And when you see some of the things that have taken place, I certainly question the validity of some of the things that they explained to us out there about the testing stations for the fugitive dust and things like that. And, I've lived in San Luis Obispo County my entire life, and Friday for the very first time I saw Oso Flaco Lake from someplace other than just a picture. It's beautiful.
It is. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. It's gorgeous. And it's a little off the beaten track for people who are heading down the freeway, but it's certainly worth going to see. So it was a good day.
It was really amazing. Yeah. What else did we forget?
And then do you have, there's one other thing that we need to address.
Go ahead.
Very important. It's an annual
anniversary that we just passed. No, we're on a fiscal year, but council's advised that we need to have a Brown Act special
training. Okay.
Where you guys can attend, and Council Thurman and Chase Martin would conduct it. So we need to pick a date.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes. Yes, we're talking about Brown Act training.
Can you hear us?
Okay. No, it just kind of dead spot there. I was trying to figure out if it was me or you.
It's you.
So the idea is we need to pick a date for a Brown Act training session where all board members and the public can attend. But we need to post it and conduct it as a special meeting.
Can I ask that we do it after the second week of February? The reason is I've got a heavy trial that's set to start the 30th. If you've seen the newspaper, that's the one. So maybe, let me throw out February 18th. That's the third Saturday. I'll throw it out there as a tentative date. We can confirm it at the next meeting. Unless the rest of the board prefers a weekday, I could probably get a Friday off.
Can you house us, Lori?
Lori, can you house us? That's what we're asking.
Talking about the Brown Act?
About Brown Act training, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, you want to do February the 18th?
That's a Saturday. And last year was, 2 hours in the morning, wasn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't very long.
We've had 2 hours at the most, an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Okay, and the public's invited. And
so we need a motion.
I move that we learn how to conduct ourselves at the table with the Brown Act training.
I'll second. Go ahead. Sorry.
Focusing on Robert's Rules of Order under the Brown Act.
Specialize, please specify the date.
February 18th, which will be a Saturday. I move that we adjourn.
Second.
Good night.